Okay, we're on the last nine on Nedelin Amud Bet. Here, the Gemara is going to repeat something we saw earlier in the Masechta on Daf Tet Vov. It's going to bump into again tomorrow's Daf, and then on Zion as well, which is Natala Tadami Mimishamareisbo, and then it describes how he sprinkles the blood. And the Gemara says, Maike Matzlif. What is this Matzlif that is described here? Rashi, both on the Mishnah and back on Tet Vav, said, I don't know what the word matzlif is. I don't know the shorish of the word. I don't know how to interpret the word. The Gemara tells you what the word means. He's just saying, I don't know the word matzlif. Doesn't ring a bell. I don't know where it came from. But, Mechave Rav Yehuda, kemenagdano. Matzlif is like someone who is whipping. Someone who is giving makot or malkot. That is the way that he does it. Tana, kashuma ze, enuma ze ala kaporet. When he does the hazaot, he doesn't do it on the kaporet itself. But opposite the space or the width of the kaporet, when he's sprinkling upward, he turns the back of his hand down, his palm is upward, so he's raising his hand to go up, that's lachmalo. It's the other way around. He puts the palm of his hand facing down, back of his hand is up, and he throws it down this way, that's lamato. So when we talk about Echad Lamalo Vesheva Lamato, that is not the location of the blood itself. We're not saying higher on the kaporet, lower on the kaporet, and the same with the parochet, but rather we're talking about the position of his hand. Now, like a person who whips, the Tosfot Yishanim said back on Tet Vav, that's when you whip, you have to raise your hand, and then you have to bring it back down. When you're raising it, that's the Lamalo, and when you bring it back down, that's Lamato. So those are the two different ways to sprinkle the blood. Each time he dips his hand into the dam, and then he sprinkles it. In terms of the location of sprinkling, Rashi over here says that the Chad Lamalo, he throws it up and it lands, and then it seems to be the Lamato, they come afterwards, or closer to him. Back on Tet Vav, as well as further on in the Gemara, Rashi says it has to be in a line, that they actually have to be lined up, and then one after the other. He says the Chad Lamalo is the furthest away from him, closest to the Aron. And then each subsequent Lamato has to be closer and closer to him, so that they're all in a row. Kimatzlif also in that way means that it's in a row, or in a straight line, the way that a whip makes when you hit the back of the individual, they do it down the back. So that's the requirement that Rashi has. Other Rishonim do not have that requirement, simply that the Malo is closer to the Aron. Everything in the Mata has to be a little further away from the Aron. We have to balance between a number of these Gemaras. There's this Gemara here, which seems to indicate that the blood never touched the Kaporet, never touched the Aron at all. As well as on Tet Vav, it said the same thing. Then, coming up on Nun Zayin, there's the famous story, we saw it in Me'ilah, the Gemara Me'ilah, that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi went with Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai to Rome, petition on behalf of the Jews. They are granted permission because they saved the daughter of the Caesar from a shade, and they're granted permission to go into the coffers, the treasury of the king. They go in there to rip up the Gzeirah, but while he's there, he says he sees the Kolei HaMikdash, he sees the Parochet. And there he says that he sees Dam on the Parochet. So the question is, what's their Dam doing on the Parochet if all of this Dam is being put on the floor in front of the Parochet? So one answer is that it just splashed. I mean, it didn't get exact. There's no exactitude here. But it splashed onto the Parochet. The difficulty is that the Gemara indicates there that there seems to be in an order, or was in a line. Now, if you're talking about splashing, that's a little bit questionable how if you got it on the ground, you'd end up with a straight line on the parochet. Splashing, it would spread out all over the place. So the artists want to indicate that there was a Kohen Gadol who did it intentionally on there, or unintentionally, but somebody did it, either intentionally or unintentionally, on the parochet, and that's why it had the dam on it, but that wasn't the regular way. Or maybe there was some controversy, maybe it's not so straightforward what we're seeing here, that it had to be on the floor in front of it. Now, the Gemara is unequivocal about it here, that it's on the ground, not on the parochet, on the ground, not on the kaporet. The kaporet is the cover of the aron. So we're talking about the matnot, the kodesh hakodeshim, when it says before the kaporet, and we're talking about the matnot of the kodesh, the heichal, when we're talking about in front of the parochet. But the Gemara believes for sure here that it's done on the ground, on the floor, and not touching any of those items. Again, you have to reconcile with the Gemara. We'll get there on Daf Nun Zayin with regards to the story with Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi. What the requirements on the ground are, again, we just discussed Rashi, who says it has to be lined up. I mean, back on Tet Vav, he says. Others believe it just has to be the Lamalo is a little further away, the Lamato is closer to him, and the Lamalo Lamato is the direction of your hand, in that the movement of your arm, as well as the direction of your palm. When you're going Lamalo, your hand's facing upwards, and your direction of your arm is going up. When you're doing lamato, your hand is facing down, and your direction of your arm when you're throwing the blood is down. So that's what the Gemara says. Now the Gemara wants to know, minahane mile. How do we know this? So now we have two psukim. Let's just read the psukim first, because the rest of the Gemara is going to revolve around these psukim, which is, we have the matnot of the par in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. There the pasuk says, v'lagach midam par, v'izah be'etzpo, takes from the dam par and he sprinkles with his finger, al pnei hakaporet kedma, on the kaporet, on the eastern side, v'lifnei hakaporet yazeh sheva pamim min adam be'etzmo, and in front of the kaporet, he will sprinkle 7 times min adam be'etzbo. So Gemara is going to say, al pnei hakaporet, on the kaporet means lamalo, and then lifnei hakaporet means lamato. Now with regards to the par, we have no idea how many you do lamalo. All it says is, v'izah be'etzbo, pnei hakaporet kedma. Doesn't give you a number, just tells you you do it. Then it says, v'lifnei hakaporet yazeh sheva pamim. Tells you that you have 7 down. So lamato we know is 7 from the par. Lamalo we don't know.
Shat
is that it would be on the kaporet, correct. Shat the pasuk is apnei kaporet, that you have to land that on the kaporet itself. The same will be true by this ear. It says the shachat. It's ear chatat asher la'am. Ve'evi etamo ibeit laparochet. He brings it into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Va'asa etamo kasher asa ledam apar. He does the seir like he did the dam apar. Viza oto al hakaporet, again on the kaporet. Sounds like you're doing it on the kaporet. Now here the Gemara says, it says viza oto in the singular. Viza oto al hakaporet means 1. So that's how we know achat lamalo. But then bifnei hakaporet, in front of the kaporet, gives you no number. So here I'm just giving you a preview of the Gemara. In Seir it tells you how many you do the malo, which is 1. And in the par it tells you how many you do the mato is 7. The question is, how do you get one to the other? That's one question. The second question is the one that David asked, which is, it sounds from the pasuk, it's al hakaporet, on the kaporet, and then lifnei means in front of. So if I was to divide up the pasuk, I would say first you gotta get it on the kaporet, then in front of the kaporet, and same with the parochet. It says al, get it on the parochet, and then lifnei ha parochet. So that's what the Gemara is dealing with now. So Amar Ravacha Bar Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Zeir, Amar Karat. The pasuk says, v'izauto al hakaporet, v'lifnei ha kaporet. That is the seir, that's the matnot of the seir. Lo yomar lamato b'seir. Why does he have to tell us about the lifnei ha-kaporet by the seir? To lo tzarich. To gemar mimato de par. We can learn that out from the par. Because the pasuk says right before it describes this hazat adam, it says, basa et amo kasher asa ledam ha-par. Should do the dam ha-seir just like you did the par. Now, as far as lamala, we need it because that teaches us the number. It teaches us the 1 lamala. But lamato, lifnei ha-kaporet, we don't need by the seir because we already know that information from the par. So lama ne'amar. So then why is it said? It's extraneous now. The saying al ha-kaporet is necessary, but lifnei ha-kaporet is extraneous. Lakushe al lilifnei. It's to put a juxtaposition between the al ha-kaporet to lifnei ha-kaporet. Ma lifnei de lav'al. Just like lifnei ha-kaporet means not on the kaporet, af al de lav'al. Also, al kaporet does not mean on the kaporet. Here's your drasha, why it's not literally on the kaporet. It's because they are connecting it to the lifnei kaporet afterwards. It's extraneous. Since it's extraneous, it's for a drasha. The drasha is that al kaporet doesn't mean literally on the kaporet, but rather lifnei kaporet. So, adar abo, let's do it the other way around. Lo yomar lamalo bipar. Don't say lamalo bipar, delo tzarich. We don't need that. To gomer mi malo de sa'ir, because then we'll learn that out from sa'ir. Remember, I said before, the par has the sheva lamato, but doesn't tell you how many lamalo. How many lamalo we learn out of the sa'ir. So that we have from sa'ir, because of the connection of pasuk, vasu adamo kasher asa ledam par. If it tells you that the sa'ir has a chat lamalo, that means the par also had a chat lamalo. So why do I need that language by the par? Lama ne'amar, lakushe lifnei la'al. Same type of drasha, hekesh, the juxtaposition of ne'an al to tell you, ma'al al mamash. Just like al means literally on top, af lifnei al mamash. So we'll say the other way around, that maybe al means literally on top. So remember, in the case of the seir, we need the first one, which is the necessary one. So the second one is the drasha. Lifnei akapot is the drasha. So then we'll say lifnei means literally lifnei, and al is connected to that limud. On the other hand, by the par, the one that's unnecessary is the al, al hakaporet. Therefore, the al hakaporet becomes the limud, and we'll say literally al hakaporet, and the lifnei afterwards means also al hakaporet. So Gemara says, how do you know which way to go? Gemara says, hi, my. Why would you do that? If you're telling me about lamato of the seir, which means lifnei hakaporet, if I'm doing the mato for the hekesh to teach us that it's not literal, then the malo de par mi boile. I need the malo lepar. That is also extraneous. The malo lepar is also extraneous, but I need it for some other drusha, which is the Kadatana Debe Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov. Al pnei akaporet kedma. Why does it say al pnei akaporet kedma? Eastward. Now eastward, if you're standing in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, eastward means closest to you. So now when I say al pnei akaporet kedma, it means in the closest location on the kaporet to you. Ze bnei avko makom shnemer pnei, enu el kadim. This comes to teach you, whenever it says it's the face, it means the eastern side. So whatever the Torah says, pnei, it means the eastern side of the object. Now, that makes a lot of sense. Again, the sun rises from the eastern side. So when you're talking about the panim or pnei aholam, you're talking towards the eastern side. Achor is going to be west. That's where the sun sets. Over here, it's a pinyanav, that anywhere it says pnei, it means the eastern side. So we're going to have these in the Parshiot HaMishkan. It's going to talk about pnei HaMishkan. Where are the Pnei HaMishkan? The Pnei HaMishkan is going to be on the eastern side. Pnei Av, from here, Binyan Av here, that tells you Pnei HaKaporet and Kedma in the same sentence, in the same pasuk, teaching you that Panim and Kedma East are synonymous. Eliyamart Lamala Lepar, if you do it the other way around, that the Lamala Lepar is for the Hekesh, to teach you that it's literally on. Lamata Desir Lamayato. The Mata Desir now becomes extraneous, and I have nothing to do with it. I have no drusha for it. So therefore, the Gemara concludes that it must be the lamata l'seir, which is extraneous, lifnei akaporet, comes to teach you the lifnei is exact, and al, we learn from that to teach you don't put it on, but rather in front of. So that's what governs, lifnei governs. The drasha of par is, lamalo of par is extraneous, because it says apnei akaporet kedma, but it doesn't tell you the number. That we're going to learn now from seir. What are we going to do with what's extraneous over here? The answer is that we're from Tana Debei, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, that we learn out that panim means kadim. So that's why the drasha sits this way. Now, the Gemara moves on, Tana Rabbanan. Now, the Rabbanan move on to the 1 and 7 part of the drasha. So far, we dealt with the question of whether it means al means literally on, or it means lifnei. So that drasha is that the juxtaposition of lifnei to al teaches us the al is not literally al, but rather lifnei. And that's because the terminology lifnei was extraneous by the seir. From that we learn al means lifnei. Now they want to know, how do you know achat lamala and sheva lamata? So here the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, vizauto ala kaporet, vilifnei akaporet. Lamanu kama lamala bisair. We learn from seir, how many are lamala? Achat. Lamata bisair, eni yodea kama. By the matlas here, I don't know how many. Again, I said before, it says vizo oto al hakaporet. That oto teaches you that it's in a singular form, therefore there's only one lamala. But then it just says lifnei hakaporet. Doesn't tell you how many. It's already done. Nemru damim lamata bipar, v'nemru damim lamata b'seir. By the par, it says, how many do the mato? 7. Malabata the par sheva. After mata b'seir, sheva. Oh, klach lederfzu. Maybe you want to do the lima this way. Nemru damim lamata b'seir. But the seer tells you how many are the malo, which is 1. Nemru damim lamata b'seir. Then it says the mata without giving you a number. Malo malo b'seir achat. After mata b'seir achat. Just like by the seer, the malo is 1 up, then the down should be 1 down as well. So which way do you go? You have 2 possibilities of figuring out how many do the mata b'seir. One is connected to par. Par has 7 lamato, so that would give you 7 by the seer. The other way is connected to seer itself. The malo by the seer is 1. So maybe the mata should also be 1. Nearer the mid domeh. Let's see which one it's more similar to. What's the common denominator between them? Donim mata mi mato, vein donim mata lamalo. Makes more sense to talk about the damim that have the same placement versus damim that have different placements. So for instance here, the mato of the seir will connect to the mata of the par rather than the mata of the seir connecting to the malo of the seir. It says, adraba, donim gufo mi gufo, vein donim gufo mi alma. You have a different reason to look at it the other way, which is, why would you learn Seir from Par when you can learn Seir from Seir itself? That makes more sense. Tamad Omar, the answer is what the Pasuk says, Vasad Damo, Kashir Asad, the Dam HaPar. It says you have to do the Dam HaSeir exactly like you did the Dam HaPar. Shein Tamad Omar, Kashir Asad. Kashir Asad is extraneous. What does it mean, Kashir Asad? Could you see, Vasad Damo, Kedam HaPar. What is it, Kashir Asad? Ma Tamad Omar, Kashir Asad, Shukol Atziotav Shavot. That's exactly the same way. Not only do you take it to the same location and do something similar, but rather you do it exactly the way you did the Dam HaPar. Shem shel lamata b'par sheva, kach lamata b'seir sheva. So too, lamata of the seir is sheva. So now we got 1 lamalo for the seir and sheva lamato. Now we're going to move back to the par. How do we know it by the par? Lamadnu kama lamata b'par b'seir. We know how many are lamata by par and seir. Par, because it says it explicitly in the pasuk. It's here just because of the limud that we just had. So the mala par any yodeya kama. For the mala par, I don't know how many you have to do. Because there all it says is, visa betzvo, pnei akaporet kedma. We don't know how many he has to do. There's a singular form in terms of his etzba, but not in terms of the hazaah. But the seer, it says visa uto, giving you a singular form by the hazaah itself. Already done. Nemru damim la malo b'seir. V'nemru damim la malo b'par. It says the malo b'seir, it says the malo b'par. Malo b'seir achat. Af the malo b'par, achat. Just like the malo and the seir is one, so too the malo by the par is one. Oh, klach l'derech zu. So the first assumption is, okay, we'll look at the seir is one, so par will be one as well. Or maybe look at it this way. Nemru domim lamata bipar. By the mata bipar, it says specifically seven. But nemru domim lamala bipar. Then it says the mala bipar, and we don't know how many. Mala mata par b'sheva, after mala par b'sheva. So why don't we say, just like the mata bipar says sheva pamim, maybe the sheva pamim is also modifying al pnei akaparet as well, the first part. So nir alami dome. Again, let's see which one is it more similar to. Damim alami malo, vein dami malami mato. Makes more sense to learn damim that have a similar location or placement. The malo of the par from the malo of the seir, and not to learn the malo of the par from the mato of the par. It says, Adrabba, danim gufo mi gufo, vein danim gufo mi alma. Makes more sense to learn par from par than to learn par from seir. Tamad Omar, again, the same pasuk, which is, vasa damo, kashir asa ledam apar, shein tamad Omar kashir asa. What does it mean, kashir asa? Tamad Omar kashir asa, shiyu kolosiotav shavot. That all the damim of the par and the seir can be exactly equal. That means if you're going to do by the seir, one the mato, that means that must be reflecting what was done by the par. So kashem shalom mato bapar sheva, kach lamato b'seir sheva. Just like the mato of the par is seven, so too the mato of the seir is seven. Kashem shalom malo b'seir achat, just like the malo of the seir is one, kach lamato b'par achat, so too the one up of the par is one. So again, you have sheva lamato by the par, achat lamalo by the seir, and the Gemara connects the two to give you all the information because the pasuk says vasatamo kasher asav the dam ha par. So since they equate the two matnot damim, the one from the seir lamalo gets transferred over to the par, and you also do one lamalo there. The seven lamato by the par gets brought over to the seir to do seven lamato by seir, and therefore you end up with the situation where you do achat lamalo. B'sheva l'mato, both by the par and by the seir. Right now, we go to the counting. You're familiar with this because of Musaf on Yom HaKippurim, where we do the avoda. How does he count when he's doing this? It says in our Mishnah, achat. Achat means the one l'malo. Then, achat v'achat, achat v'shtayim. So he keeps counting l'malo, and then he goes to l'mato. Tanu banan. Achat, achat v'achat, achat v'shtayim, achat v'shalosh. Achad v'arba, achad v'chamesh, achad v'shesh, achad v'sheva. Divrei, here we have a change in the girsa to Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Omer, and then we have Rabbi Meir Omer. Truthfully, it's difficult to say that because almost every time we have a Mishnah or Tanaic work, Rabbi Meir precedes Rabbi Yehuda. But the reverse would be interesting, but at least here, the Masorah Shas suggests that it should be Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir gives a different version of this. He says, achat, achat v'achat, shtayim v'achat. Shalosh v'achat, arba v'achat, chamesh v'achat, shesh v'achat, sheva v'achat. Alright, the difference between them is, which one is the malo and which one is the mato. According to the Tana Kama, always count the malo, achat, and that continues all the way through the sequence. And then you move the number, the second number is moved. So you get achat, achat v'achat, achat v'shtayim, achat v'shalosh. So it's the second number that moves for the mato. According to the second opinion here, Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir, according to the Masorah Shas, he says, no, you count achat, then you do achat v'achat, and then you do shtayim v'achat. The first number moves for the mata, and the second one stays stationary. It says, lo plige, they don't argue. Markiatrei or markiatrei. It's just a way of counting. It's not that they're arguing about what you must do. It's just rather, how do they enumerate items when they have to do such an enumeration? How is it done? Rashi points out, and I don't think it's so simple what Rashi says. Rashi says, some people say, Esrim v'achat, for 21. And if you know in the Torah, it says achat v'esrim in the Torah for 21. So Rashi claims that's what it means over here. They're arguing about exactly that point, is whether you say esrim v'achat or achat v'esrim. The problem here is that it's not identical to that. In that case, you're dealing with digits and then tens. The question is, do you put the digits before the tens? Do you put the ones before the tens? Or do you put the tens before the ones? Do you say 1 and 20 or 20 and 1? But that's not our case over here. Our case over here is they're both ones. They're both digits in both columns. So to say that it's dependent on that difference of Esrim v'chad, Echad v'Esrim, is not so clear to me that that's the same thing over here, because here the counting is not separating between digits and tens, but rather two sets of digits. When I have two sets of digits, well, how do I count? When I want to maintain one stationary and move the other, do I move the first digit or I move the second digit? Rashi claims they're the same. I'm not so sure that it's so simple to connect between the two. But the Gemara claims that this is not a machloken and ikaron, and that there's no fundamental difference between them. It's just the nature of way that they counted or the way they would express themselves. It was a language difference, but not a fundamental difference. Everybody seems to agree that you have to count the first one every time you count the lamato. So my time, what's the reason for that? Rabbi Elazar Amar, Shlo Yiteh Behazot. Over here, pretty straightforward. Makes a lot of sense. So you don't make a mistake. You start counting one. Where are you counting from? Are you counting from the malo or the mata? And he'll lose count along the way. How do I preserve the count to make sure I don't make a mistake? I count the malo, and then separately I count the mato. But I keep counting the malo together with the mato to know that that's not part of the count. Rav Yochanan Amar Kra, Rav Yochanan says, the pasuk says, Lifnei HaKaporet Yazeh. Says, Lifnei HaKaporet you'll sprinkle. Shein Tam Lamar Yazeh. Why does it have to say Yazeh? Already we know that, because it says, V'izah Be'etzbo. Hizah be'etzvah b'nei ha-kaporet k'edma, and then he could just said, v'fnei ha-kaporet sheva pamim. The hizah would be modified by both pieces in the remainder of the pasuk. Why do I have to v'fnei ha-kaporet yazeh again? To teach you that the azar rishona needs to be counted each time. Im kol achat ve'achat. In each one of them. My benayu. What's the nafkamina between them? It's very obvious nafkamina, which is, ik benayu delo manah velota. If he didn't count, and he didn't make a mistake. According to Rabbi Elazar, it's all a protection against making a mistake. If he doesn't make a mistake, he's fine. Counting is just a protective mechanism. If he didn't do the protective mechanism and he did it right, he's fine. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a requirement of the pasuk. And the pasuk, we know by Yom HaKippurim, it says hukah. Hukah means that anything related to the avodah is me'akev. So if you learn out of the pasuk here that the counting is me'akev, then according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you didn't count, even though you did it right, it's me'akev and you're not good to do it again because you didn't get it right the first time. The counting is an integral part of the matnot dam, and it's required by the pasuk. So that would be the difference between the two opinions. Just note over here, we mentioned before that Rabbi Elazar, here is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, who's arguing on Rabbi Yochanan, who is his Rebbe. Remember, Rabbi Elazar is the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, but he becomes a Talmud Chover. And over here, you have Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat arguing with his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. Yotza v'nicho alkan azav shebeichal. Okay, now he goes out and he takes the dam hapar and he places it on the base that is by the mizbeach hazahav when he comes out, because now he's got to go get his seir and check the seir and bring the dam inside. And then he's going to have to swap between the seir and the par on these bases that were by the mizbeach hazahav. Remember, the Mishnah is a machloket. The Chachamim say there were two bases there. Rabbi Yehuda said there's only one base over there. Right after you do the par in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, you do the Seir in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Then after that, you do the par in the Heichal, in front of the Parochet. And then right after that, you can do the Seir on the Parochet. Then you're going to do the Matnot Mizbeach HaZav here, while the Machloket, whether you mix the two Damim together, or you do them separately on the top of the Mizbeach HaZav. Each one of them, right after you do the par, you do the Seir. Par, Seir, par, Seir. Whatever you do with both of them. Par first, and then Seir.
Each time walking in the Kodesh, he goes out.
He's twice been in there. He's been in there for the Ketoret. Then he walks all the way out to get the dam that is out in the Azara. The dam apar that the guy's waiting with. Then he went in to do the dam apar. Finishes that, he's going to go all the way out again to shech the seir. Because he hasn't done that yet. He has to shech the seir l'Hashem. After he does that, he brings the dam seir into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Then when he goes out, then he only has to go into the Kodesh now. Because the dam apar is waiting for him in the Kodesh. Then it's only out to the Kodesh. After that, he's to the Kodesh. Then he stays local. After that point, he's local. This should be familiar to you, because this is Chazara on Shkolim. This rest of today's daf is from Shkolim, so it's all Chazara now. It's not Hotam. We have a mission over there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo hayu shofarot lukinei chuva, mibnei ha-torovot. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, when we talk about the 13 shofarot, the 13 stucco boxes that were in the Mikdash, each one of them, we're going to see again, we're going to quote, the Mishnah has something written on them for a particular donation. Over there, there is a possibility that one of the boxes is for birds. Birds, meaning that if you bring a kan chova, a zav, a zava, a yoledet, who have an obligation when they are tahor to bring two birds, one the chatat, one the ola. Seems like one of those boxes there is for that. You place your money in there, and then they're makriv the korban for you during the day. There's another box there that seems to be for what we call kan nidava. When you want to donate birds to the mikdash. So that seems to be a separate box over there. Now, you donate birds to the mikdash, they're both olot. There's no such thing as a chatat and a donation. They're both olot. If it's an obligatory kan, then one is a chatat and one is an ola. So what Rabbi Yehuda says is, there is no box there for a kan chova. No, I know there's no box there for a kan chova. We're afraid it'll get mixed up. The money might end up with the nidava, and the devote are both olot, and this needs to be an ola and a chatat. So because of that, we don't have a box over there. My mipnei tarovet. What are we worried about it getting mixed up over here? Amar Rabbi Yosef mipnei tarovet chova b'nidava. The mixing up of the chuva and the nidava, which we just described over here, which would cause a problem. Here these women need tara, or the zav needs tara from the birds. And if they don't attain it, then they're going to have a problem, because they're assuming that they got their tara, and they're going to eat from kodashim, and they're going to go into the mikdash, and they're not really tehorim, because they're mechusar kipurim. They don't have their korban, because their monies were used for olot instead of for an ala and a chatat. So I'm really abayi, but now it's right. What's the confusion over here? Just make two boxes. What's the big deal? You have one stucco box that says chuva on it, one stucco box that says nidava on it, and you solve your problem. Rabbi Huda, late lake tiva. Yehuda says, not that he doesn't have writing, but he doesn't trust people even when you write on the box. Even if you write on one box nidava and one box chuva, they still, people don't pay attention. And they're going to make a mistake and put it in the wrong box. It's not. How do I know that he doesn't rely on writing the name there from our Mishnah? There's only one base there to put the damim down into. Trey, my time alo. The Chachamim say there are two. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say there's only one? Why not? Because he'll mix them up. We don't want him to mix up the par and the seir. If he puts them both down, then he won't remember which one to pick up. Whereas if there's only one base there, he has to pick up the new one before he picks down the old one. He can't confuse them because they're never there together. It's sitting. So v'navid shrei, v'licht ovelayu. So just make two of them and say, hey par, v'hei the seir. They have a little label on it. This one's for the par, and this one is for the seir. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say do that? Ela, the Rabbi Yehuda late lake tiva. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't rely on markings or a little sign that tells you what it is. People still confuse the issue, and we're not going to rely on that. So by the donations, the kan chova will be somewhere else. Kan nidava is here. Kan chova you have to do somewhere else. Over here by the par and seir, we're going to make you pick up the dam that you need before you put down the other one, so you can only have one there at a time. So he protects against any failings of human beings to see the placards or the labeling. He doesn't allow for labeling. Labeling doesn't work, he says. Human beings just don't pay attention to labels, and therefore it doesn't work. Mar says, is that really true? Meitavei, the Mishnah in Shkalim. Shloshesrei shofarot ayu b'migdash. There were 13 shofarot in the Migdash. This is what we just discussed. V'ayah katuv alehen. Written on them was, Tiklin charetin, the new shekel. Tiklin atikin, the old shekel. Kinin, that's where we have to discuss what that means. Gozlei ola, we have to discuss what that means. Veitzim, wood for the mizbeach. Livona, if someone donated frankincense or said they were going to donate frankincense, v'zahav l'kaporet, and gold for the kaporet. Again, here, the gold is whether it's used for the clay sharet or for the gold plating inside the kodshi ha-kodashim. V'shisha l'nidava. Then afterwards, there's six of them for donations. Now, tiklin charetin elu shkalim shel kol shana v'shana. Tiklin charetin means the new shekel. The shekel for that year goes in there. Tiklin atikin mishlo shekel eshtekadi shkol l'shana haba. If you didn't give your shekel last year, you're really late. So now you put it in last year's shekel box, and that goes out to the leftover sheirei alishka. They'll put it towards sheirei alishka, which is used for fixing things in Yerushalayim, public works, and so on, whatever the mishnayot, we learned them in shkalim, used with the sheirei alishka. Kinim, hein, Torin. Kinin means the birds, the torim. Goes leola, hein b'nei yonah, means the other type of birds. There are two birds that are kosher to bring as korbanot. They are torim and b'nei yonah. Pigeons and turtle doves. So those are the two items that are permissible to use for birds. Over here, he says, you know when it says kinim and goes leola, you know what the difference between those two boxes is? The type of bird that is brought. Is it a tor or is it a ben yonah? That's the only difference between those two boxes. And they're all olot. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda, the Shittato. The shita though is that there's no chova there. Everything is a nidava, and therefore there are two boxes for birds. They're both nidavot. One is just for Torah, and one is for Ben Yonah. The chachamim disagree and say that kinim means chova. Goes leola. It's like it says ola. That's for a nidava, and that's the difference according to the chachamim. This is Rabbi Yehuda the shita though, but the problem is we're still trusting people to follow the labeling of the boxes here of the shofarot. So what are you telling me that there is no boxes over here? Now the Shisha Nidava, the Rashi over here quotes one of the reasons. Why do they have six other boxes for donations? Rashi says it's Keneged Shisha Batei Avot. One for each Beit Av. And that was for each Beit Av had a day of the week. And so I guess basically each box was that day of the week. And so anytime they ran out of korbanot to put on the Mizbeach, they used to dip into the box to put on Kaitz and Mizbeach. So that's one reason there were six. The Gemara and Shkolim gave two other reasons as to why there were six boxes over here. One was because all the different types of nidavot that you can bring, like the leftovers of an asham when it goes out, the leftovers of a shlamim, there were so on and so forth. They had six different boxes over there. And the last reason was given because there wasn't enough room in one box, and we didn't want them to stuff the boxes because the coins would rust or go bad. So in order to give airspace and airflow in the boxes, they made a lot of boxes so they wouldn't fill them up to the top. So now we have a problem here because it seems to be a problem here. Rabbi Yehuda here has labels all over these boxes, and we're trusting people to use the labels. So if you can label them already, why not label them for chova and for nidava? And same with the par and the seir. Why don't we trust that? So Mar says, Kiata Rav Dimi Amar Imre Bimar Rova. Rav Dimi came, he says, this is what they say in the West in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Dimi is one of those people that travels back and forth and brings information, many memrot from Rabbi Yochanan. Now the problem here is not a problem of writing. The problem here is a problem that we are afraid that the balim might pass away. In case of kan chuvah is made up of a chatat and ola. A chatat is only brought if the owners are still alive. If the owner passes away, you can't bring it. So a person puts the money in the box. How do we know they're alive when we bring the korban? We don't know they're alive. So that's a problem of chatat shemetu balea. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I can't have the money in the box of chova because when I go to bring the korban, I don't know if the person who put it in there is still alive. Now, by the olot, that's not a problem. By nidava, the balim dying does not negate the nidava. You can put it on the mizbeach even though the balim are not alive. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's problem. So now we're resetting. Going back to the beginning. Rabbi Yehuda believes that ktiva works. Labeling works. What's the problem about the chova and the nidava? The problem there is we're afraid that the balim are going to die by the chatat. And that's why he won't let you have a box for chova. He says you got to buy it, bring it, and have to makriv it while you're standing there so it gets done while you're still there and we know you're alive. Mar says, umi chashinon? Do we really worry about this fact that people are going to pass away? That's not. We have a Mishnah. Shalei chatato mimdinat hayam, someone who sends his chatat from overseas, makrivin otah b'chezkat shehu kayam. You makriv it, assuming he is alive. Basically, when a person's alive, they have a chazaka to remain alive. We don't have this question about, oh, maybe they're going to die. People are alive unless you hear otherwise. A person being alive is a chazaka. And that chazaka remains intact. The truth is, that's not so simple. It really depends on how old the person is. The Gemara in Gitin says with regards to a get that is sent, how do we know that the husband's still alive when the get is given? Maybe the husband already passed away. Maybe something happened to him. There the Gemara says, if he reaches gvurot, if he's already a certain age where the actuarial tables shift, and it's more likely that they won't live than they will live, then there actually is a problem. Tosafot over here says, why don't we say that over here? It says, that's only by get. Get by Esh and Ish, we worry about the fact that the husband might have passed away. Here by Chatat, we don't worry about that. The consensus across the board is that people are alive. Even when they're older, they're alive, unless otherwise heard from them. By Esh and Ish, where it's a serious issue, there we wait to make sure. If they're already at an age where actuarial tables have shifted, then we worry about the possibility they might have passed away. Ella, mishum shchatat shemetu balei vadai. The answer is, case here is that we know somebody passed away. They put their money into the box with the chova, and then we found out that somebody put their money in there and passed away. So now that they passed away, we know for certain there's a chatat shemetu balei on here. It's not a suspicion. They're not worried about it. Maybe they're going to die. They did pass away. They passed away. Now I have a problem. I have a chatat shemetu balei that's mixed in this box. And now if it's mixed in this box, everything's going to go out. That's going to ruin it for everybody else in this box. Then nobody gets their korban on that day. What are you going to do? So Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you what you do. Nivror arba azuzay v'nishte b'mayo. Take out four zuz and throw it into the mayim. Mayim usually means yam ha-melach. Dispose of them because that's a chatat shemetu balea. V'anoch nishtaru. And then everything else will be mutar. So I have a way to take care of the problem. Take the money out that belongs to the chatat she made to Balat, the amount of money that would be assigned to that, and dispose of it as if that's her korban. Since that's her korban, then we're done with it. We've given it away, and we're fine. Why they say Arba Zuzeh over here? Arba Zuzeh, as Rashi points out, are Arba Zuzeh of a Medina. Kesef Tzuri is the Torah money. The Torah money is 8 times the value of the money that was exchanged in the Medina. So when I talk about a dinar kesef of the Torah and a dinar kesef of the Medina, the dinar kesef of the Medina is 1/8 that of the Torah. So in the Torah, Sela is 4 zuz, and now I'm talking about 4 zuz of Medina. It'll turn out that it's a half of a dinar kesef, because 1 dinar of the Torah is equal to 8 of the Medina. So if I only have 4 of the Medina, that means half a dinar kesef. So it's half a dinar kesef of the Torah. Rashi says, how do I know that's the amount of money that it costs for a bird? He bases it on a Mishnah that is found in Kretot. The Mishnah in Kretot about how the price of the birds was escalating. And over there, in the Mishnah, one of the Tanaim says, I'm not leaving here until the price is brought down today. And it gives a Psach Halocha that brings the price down. And the price sinks to Rivatayim. So that's why Rashi claims. Tosafot says he doesn't think that's right. He says that's not for one bird. He says that in other places in Shas, it seems to be that they were cheaper than that. And so this is just a number. It's a number that they use, a round number that they use all the time, but that's not the price of the birds. So now we'll finish up the last line, which is Rabbi Yehuda, but lay Breira. Rabbi Yehuda does not have Breira. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have this ability that you can choose something, and the Mafreya, retroactively, it's designated. I have a pool of money here. Pool of money that's given by 20 people who put in their tan chova into this box. Now I go and take out some money and I say, okay, this is assigned to the person who died. How do you do that? That means that you are now, after the fact, making a decision that has retroactive implications from before. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't believe in Breira. Since I don't believe in Breira, you can't take the money out after the fact and assign it to the person. So because of that, I don't have this solution. The Chachamim do have that solution. That's why they can have a kind of chuvah. Someone passes away, they'll just take out 4 and say they'll assign it to this woman. And since it's assigned to this woman, therefore we don't have a problem. In terms of the Kanim, Tosafot before in the Masechta mentions that each person had to probably put in their money in a wrapped package. Because each person has to bring a chatat and an olah, and it has to be for their name. So what they probably did was they wrapped the money and put it in. Once they wrapped the money, each bundle of money would go towards a chatat and olah. Now, they didn't have their names on it, but we had the amount of money. So the Kohen would take that and split it and say half for a chatat, half for olah, and they say whoever this is for, it's for. I mean, that they don't have to mention the name of the Balim. But if you had a single pool of money, then you'd have a problem, because you wouldn't know which belonged to the olot and which belonged to the chatot of each individual. You have to bring the olah and the chatat of each individual. Especially according to Yehuda, it says there's no breira. You'd have to know which is which. You'd have to make that decision. First, deciding chatat and olah, the Kohen can decide at the time of hakravah, as long as he knows which bundle of money. So the assumption is that they put them in bundles of money, and then they split it to chatat and olah. In terms of the problem here, Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, I have a bundle of money. I don't know which bundle belongs to this woman who passed away. If I don't know which bundle belongs to her, I don't know which one to throw out. So if I don't know which one to throw out, I'm stuck now. I'm going to lose the whole bundle. So therefore, no box for katan chuvah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Tomorrow, we'll discuss in the Gemara, how do we know Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a breira.